Galatians chapter 5, as we continue a series of messages here on the fruit of the Spirit. We want to consider these fruit and how the Lord's people should be bearing them. If you don't have the Spirit of God within you, you can't bear these fruit. And if you're here this morning and not saved, that's our desire for you, is that the Lord Jesus Christ would save your soul. You'd come to Him in repentance and faith, and He would save you, and the Spirit of God dwell within you, that you might be fruitful for Him. Fruitful for Him. Here in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 13, we read, "Brethren, for brethren ye have been called into liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Don't walk in the Spirit, and it's guaranteed, I guarantee you, that you will fulfill. We will fulfill the lust of the flesh. But the Lord says, walk in the Spirit. The apostle writes, walk in the Spirit, capital S, Spirit of God, salvation, feeding on the Word of God, walking with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Walk that way, and we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would, those things that the Lord has ordained that we should be doing. Walking and serving Him, being a witness of Him and what He's done for us to a lost and dying world round about us. If we yield to the flesh, if we don't mortify the deeds of the flesh, if we don't bring this mind into subjection, if we don't fill up on the Word of God, we won't be a good witness like the Lord would have us to do. But if ye be led, verse 18, of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You're a pursuer of these things. You're not going to be with the Lord in that last day. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Having been saved, having been called by the liberty that is in Christ, having been set free from sin, there's no fulfilling of these fruit. These fruit will go on and should go on as long as the child of God lives in this body. These fruit will keep on. And they that are Christ, it says, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Are you Christ? Are you saved? Have you crucified your flesh, your body, that old mind, that old man that is at hatred with God? Have you pinned him down? And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, if we have everlasting life in the Spirit of God, let us also walk the rest of this life in that same Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, the emptiness of this world, the wickedness of sin, the promise of Satan and the world system and of mankind. Let us not chase after that. Let us not desire that. Provoking one another and envying one another, that's what it'll yield. In verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit, this morning, we want to pick this one out and we want to take a look at faith. Faith. The fruit of the Spirit is faith. Against such, there is no law. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You for each one that has come out this morning, Lord, to worship You. And we trust, Father, that that's the reason that each one of us have come, Lord, to worship You in spirit and truth. Help us, Lord, that we might praise Your name in those things that You've done and those things that You've promised. And Lord, and the great salvation that You've bestowed upon us, Father, Your blessings, Your provision for us, the health that You've given unto us, Lord, the fellowship that we have with You and in Your church, with brothers and sisters in Christ that You've saved. Lord, we just want to extol and praise Your name for it all. We pray that You'd help us now as we look into Your Word, Father, that we would hear You and what You have to say to us. And Lord, we'd hear you and believe you in what you say and trust you and follow you in it. Lord, to find the application of it in these lives. And Lord, we might be representative of you, witnesses of you, Father, that would be useful to those that are not saved round about us, those that are wayward round about us, Father, that they might see Christ and Him lifted up. For those that are here this morning and not saved, Father, we pray that you'd help them to see their great need. Lord, that you'd break stony hearts. Lord, that you'd open ears to hear, that you'd open eyes to see. And Lord, that you'd grant faith that they might hear and they might believe and might trust in you. Lord, help and bless in it. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for loving us first. And we pray, Father, that you'd help us at this time. Take me out of the way, Father, and just speak through me. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here, fruit of the Spirit, faith. Faith. It is by faith that we're saved, is it not? By grace through faith, Ephesians chapter 2 tells us. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The way I tell it and the way that we see it is that we take a look at the book of James on Sunday afternoons. Faith, given by God, possessed by men. Consider the scriptures, and we'll see some of those today. Faith, given by God, and possessed by men. You know, the word faith, and the Greek word for it, as it's used in the scriptures, it's used in the scriptures some 200 in the New Testament, or in the scriptures rather, in the Bible, the Old and New Testament, some 244 times. And as the word faith, it comes through the most, 239. Other synonyms, if you will, assurance, believe, belief, them that believe, or fidelity, faith, a conviction of the truth of anything, belief. In the New Testament, of a conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. Generally, with the included idea of trust and holy fervor, born of faith and joined with it. Faith, it's believing, and that's a synonym for it. And relating to God, the conviction that God exists and is the creator and ruler of all things. Faith, the provider and bestower of eternal salvation through Christ. Faith. Faith. You know, in the book of James, as we're studying on Sunday afternoons, James speaks to us and tells us the way to show that you believe is to keep on believing. Amen? That's a witness of it. That's a testimony of it. To show that you have everlasting life. That's the reason the one that feigns salvation or fake salvation will run out after a time. It just won't be able to keep it up. Just won't be satisfied with it. It won't last. Why? Because they don't have everlasting life. They're faking faith. And in time, they'll be offended by something. Something will offend them, and we see a lot of it happen in our day. Folks are offended by someone, something that's said, something that's done. Claim to be a member of one of the Lord's churches even, and in the Lord's church, and someone has said something, or something has been done to them, and they're offended by it. And what happens? They take it out on their service to the Lord, don't they? Many times folks will skip out of services because of that. Someone offended at me. Somebody looked at me cross-eyed. Somebody didn't do this or didn't do that or didn't do the other. And what do? They take it out on the Lord. Take it out on Him. Take it out in their obedience to the Lord and in meeting together with His church and serving Him in His church. They take it out on the Lord. We're a confused, upset lot, aren't we? I get things, I think it's this way, and I go that way. We need to understand how that is. Faith, in relating to Christ, faith, a strong and welcome conviction or belief that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer, through whom we obtain eternal salvation in the kingdom of God. Faith in Christ. He died for me. He saved me. Faith in God. Faith in Christ. And then another use of the word is beliefs or doctrines, if you will, of those that are Christ. We talk about the faith, the Word of God, a belief with the predominant idea of trust or confidence, whether in God or in Christ, springing from faith in the same. God said it, we believe it. God says it, we have faith in it. When the Lord speaks, He always speaks truth, and we grab a hold of it and love it and enjoy it. You know, faith, it's hard to talk about faith without getting that word believe in there. And as we find out and take a look, the word believe is taken from the root word faith. It's taken out of that. They're near to synonymous. They're synonyms one with another. Faith, believing, believing that it's the truth. When you believe something, you think it's the truth. You have confidence, you have assurance, you're settled on it, that it is the truth. To think to be true, the definition is. And you know, the references to the word believe in the Scripture are 248. 244 in the Scripture of the word faith, or forms of the word faith. 248 of the forms of the word believe. It's the Scripture is full of it. Because the Lord speaks. He speaks. His logos. He gives the breathed word. And He wants you and I to hear it and believe it. That's the whole premise of the operation of God. In Acts chapter 8, turn to take a look over here. In Acts chapter 8, we see here about the use of the word, and I trust that you're familiar with this passage. Here, Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch. The Lord sending Philip to witness to him and talk to him about Christ as the man is reading out of the book of Isaiah, being confused whether the prophet is speaking about himself or some other one. He preaches to him Christ, to Jesus, in verse 35. And in verse number 36, and as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip says, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Philip says, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest be baptized," because baptism is only for those that believe and trust in Christ, have been saved by Him. Baptism is that witness and that showing to the world, and even to the Lord's kind of New Testament Baptist church, that one has been saved, they've been redeemed by Jesus, and they identify with what He did, with His burial and resurrection. They identify with that. They need it. They needed Christ to do so for them, or they would be lost. He says, if you believe with all thine heart, you may be baptized. And the man said, "I believe." He answered and said, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And what's implied for me? He's the Son of God that came to die, suffer, bleed, and die, be buried, and raised again for me. And He was baptized to show me a pattern, and I want to follow Him in every whit and every way. I love Him because He loves me." Belief. You know, man has no faith naturally. We just don't have faith. Because when you take a look at the Word of God and you take a look at the definitions or how faith is used, how the word believe is used, it's always associated with God. It's always associated with divine things. I challenge you, and if you can find a scripture that's not the case, I want to know. But when you're talking about faith, it's always associated with God. That is true faith. It's faith in the Lord, not faith in a force, not faith in getting lucky, not faith in something coming to pass, maybe by chance, but it's always faith in God, relative to God, and what God has promised and what God has done. We just don't have faith naturally. Feelings are what we have. Feelings. Whoa. That song, right? Feelings. That's what we have. We're so caught up with the senses. It's what we know. It's what we're born to. And the Lord calls us to faith, not feel. Not feel. You know, if you take a look at feelings in the Scripture, and I preached a message on this, I don't know if you remember it or not, but any form of the word feel is only mentioned 14 times in the entire Bible. Feel. And you know what the lion's share, and 5 times in the New Testament. Feeling is not involved with anything to do with God. Now listen, we are emotional creatures. God has made us so. We weep, we laugh. The Lord tells us that He is our joy, and that's an emotion that we experience. But listen, feelings and emotion are not our religion. But if that which is true, if that from the Word of God comes, and we rejoice in the truth of God's Word, and that stirs us, that moves us to sorrow, to joy, to happiness, then praise God for it, because that's the way He's designed us and that's the way He's built us. But the feelings, the emotion are not it. There's a world of religion out there that's trading on getting people fired up for God. You take a look about being fired up for God, you won't find it in the Scriptures. We say that. But fire is judgment, folks. We need to be stirred by the Holy Spirit of God. Our love for the Lord and what He's done for us needs to come through. And we are thrilled. Maybe we're excited. Maybe we're motivated and encouraged in the Lord because of His blessing and benefit, His great salvation upon us, that we want to go and tell others about it. And we want to serve Him and we want to enjoy those things that He's given us in His church. We're blessed. We're blessed. But the word feel is only mentioned, or any form of it is only mentioned 14 times. But the word faith and forms of the word faith, 336 times in the Scripture. Forms of the word believe, 287 times. Forms of the word trust. We can't help but get that word trust in there too. It's associated with it. In the Scripture, 188 times. Listen, folks. What's important to God is not how we feel, but what we believe. And what we believe is shown forth by what we do. Amen? By what we do. How we operate. How we live in this life. Did we not read there in Galatians 5? If we live in the Spirit eternally. That's what it's talking about. Salvation. Everlasting life. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Right? It's about believing and trusting in God. You know, sometimes I get up in the morning, I don't feel too saved. That's just being honest. You know, when I get to feeling that way, it's because I've got my eyes off the Lord. Because I'm looking on my circumstance. Because I'm looking on my situation. Listen, if the Lord doesn't take me home to be with Him when I die, I'm a lost goose. But I'm trusting in Him. He's made me a promise that Christ died for me. He revealed Himself to me. He showed me my wickedness and my condition before Him. And He brought it to a climax in 1987. He gave me faith to believe and trust in Him. I'm relying on Him for it all. Amen. I'm relying, no matter whatever He wants to do with me, He can do with me. I'm trusting in Him. But He's good. He's made promises to those that believe. In 2 Thessalonians, take a look over here and see what the Word of God says. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We naturally, we do not have faith. We've got feelings. We've got philosophy. We got the ideas of the heart and the mind. But we just naturally don't have faith. Here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, the apostle writes, in verse number 1, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. There it is again, what God says. That the word of God will go out and move. As Brother Ted preached the other night, that the Spirit of God would take the word and convict sinners and open eyes and hearts to receive it, to hear it, to believe it. To go from saying, I don't give a lick about God, the Bible, and what any of that is, that the Lord would move and touch a heart to say, you know what, that's what I need. That is what I need. That is what I've been looking for. That will fill the void. You know, we've all got a void that we're trying to fill some way. Our spirit is dead. Romans chapter 1 speaks about that. And we'll fill it with all kinds of junk. But he goes on to say here, the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all have not faith. It's only those that are redeemed, those that have been saved, that have faith. I hear it in the jail. I've told you before, the fellows in the jail, they'll say, you got to have faith. You've got to have faith, Brother Jim. Faith is not something like pocket change or a knife. You just don't have faith. Faith is focused on God. Focused on God. It's directed at God. It's a confidence in God that God has spoken and He's spoken the truth, and what He says is true and it's real and it's forever and it will endure and nothing else matters, and He will bring what He said to pass, and we lay it all on that. Faith. Faith in Him. Not all have faith, those that are not saved. Before the Lord saved us, we did not have faith. That's the reason God's got to give it to us. It's a gift. To have faith in God, it is indeed a gift. In Hebrews, it says in chapter 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It says in verse number 6 of that same chapter, well, without faith, it's impossible to please Him, to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. He must have faith that God is really there in the way that God says that He's there. Not in some way that we would say God's there, not our old bud or our good old buddy from down home, but God Almighty that's revealed Himself unto us in His Word. He says, he that cometh without faith is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after Him. Diligently seek God. Looking for the truth of the Lord, wanting to find out about it. In Luke chapter 17, take a look over here. This tells us, and this is even with the apostles, they're saved, except for Judas. This tells about how it is naturally with us. How it is in our nature, our old depraved nature. We just don't have faith. We have no capacity for faith. That's the reason we need the faith from the Lord. In Luke chapter 17, verse number 1, it said he to his disciples, It is impossible that but that offenses will come. Luke 17, verse 1, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and he cast into the sea, and that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. But if you don't rebuke him, he may never know. That's what the Lord says, though. Go take it out with him. Don't tell everybody on the countryside about him. Talk to the Lord about him, and then go talk to him, and get it right with him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Increase our faith. Listen to how the Lord answers them. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, it's a small, just little speck. If you had the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Having faith of a little mustard seed, which is so very small. This is where we are naturally, folks. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. I don't think so. Have you heard that today? I don't think so. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. Lord, increase our faith. They're one to feel good about their service for the Lord. But the Lord says, how is it when a servant and the master goes out to plow a field and works all day? Do they come in and the master says, well, go ahead and sit down here, Jim, and I'll fix supper, and you being the servant, you can eat first. No, I don't think so. But the master, because he is the master, he comes in and eats first. And the servant makes the supper, and the servant sets it for the master. And then when the master's done, then the servant can eat. That's what he says. He says, does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? No, that was the servant's work. It was the servant's work to work in the field for the day. It was the servant's work to come in and make supper and set it before the master. That's his calling. That's his job. That's what he's bid to do. And the Lord ends it up, so likewise ye, in the same way you, when ye have done all those things which are commanded you, say, I'm an unprofitable servant. I've done that which was my duty to do. The Lord says, you may not feel good about serving me some days, but I've called you to it. Understand the blessing in it and follow me in it and do it. That's faith. Faith, a lack of faith, is giving up, pitching it to the wayside, saying God's way didn't work, saying that that way of the Lord is hard, and it's I don't like it. It costs me some fun. It costs me being made fun of by the world. It costs me this. It costs me that. I don't want that. That's a lack of faith. And how is it with you and I and what we've been bid to do as the Lord's children in His church? Can we say we've done everything we've been bid to do? No, we can't even arrive at that point, can we? We can't even get to the point of saying, I'm an unprofitable servant. I've done that. I've done everything that the Lord has told me to do. We can't even get there. So what do we need to do? Trust the Lord, hear the Lord, obey the Lord. That's what we need to do, and walk with Him. Faith, it doesn't come naturally. We take a look at the Lord Jesus Christ's life, and as we have done with all of these fruit of the Spirit, we take a look at the Lord's life and see the as how He defines faith. In Matthew chapter 8, we see here, and this is probably one of the greatest examples of faith in the Scripture. The Lord was really taken back by it. Believe it or not, it's what the Scripture says. There's this centurion, and he's got a servant, and he comes to the Lord. And this man knows how power and authority works. So let's read here in Matthew chapter 8, in verse number 5. And when Jesus, how is it that the Lord defines faith? How was faith defined in the Lord's life? And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion. This is a man that is over 100 men or better. He is a leader amongst the Roman soldiers. He's got a commission and a work to do in this place, there in Capernaum. And there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, begging him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Okay, let's go. Let's go. And I'll go there and heal him. Listen to what the man says. Listen to what the man says. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. You don't need to go home with me. With who you are and the power that you have, you don't have to go home with me. You don't have to take one step towards my house. You don't need to do it at all. Because listen, I understand how it works. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. How is it that the Lord Jesus Christ in His humanity, being 100% God and 100% man, would anything ever catch the Lord Jesus Christ off guard? But in His humanity, He marveled. He said, what? What? The Lord marveled. He stood there with His jaw dropped open, and He marveled at it. When Jesus heard it, He marveled and said unto them that followed, He looked around at everybody else, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. What did He say? Verily in verse 10, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Verse 13, go thy way, and as thou hast believed. Faith, believing, synonymous, so be it done unto thee. The man says, you don't have to take a foot, you don't have to take a step towards my house. All you've got to do is say it. That's the way it works with me and my men. I say go, they go. I say come, they come. I tell my servant to do this or that or shine my armor or whatever it is, put on, set on meat, whatever. He does it. All you've got to do is speak it, and my servant will be healed. And the Lord says, there's faith. There's believing. Do we have faith like that? Do we believe and trust the Lord that way? In Luke, it says there, and when he had heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. What about the man that was sick of the palsy? Luke chapter 5, you know about this fella. You know about this fella. He's got this palsy. And they hear his friends, his kin, they hear about the Lord being in this house. And they take him. In verse number 18 of Luke chapter 5, and behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. This fellow's got palsy. He can't get up out of bed. And either his neighbors, his kin, his friends, they've picked up his bed and they've taken him there to that house where Jesus is today, teaching. A multitude, a press around the house. They can't even get to the door. They said, what are we going to do? Well, let's pack up and go home. No, they said, no. If we just get him in front of Jesus, that's all it'll take. If we just take him to Jesus, that's all it will take. I say, I know. Let's get up there on that roof. I judge him to be about in this room right here. Let's get up there on the roof and let's take that tiling back and let's just drop him right down in front of him. Can you imagine being in the house? Things start rattling around up there on the roof. Dust starts falling. Things start moving. Maybe a leaf here, a thing, a palm branch there, whatever it is. And then it's opened up. Everybody in the room's looking up. And then they see those fellas said, okay, you get over there. I've got him. Okay, you ready? Let's lower him down. They don't even ask. The crowd just spreads out, and the Lord is standing there, and he sees their faith, and he says, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. The Lord is dealing with the man. He's dealing with those that are there to hear him. We'll not spend time on that. The scribes, verse 21, and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And when they perceived their when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts, whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? Listen, if you're here this morning and not saved, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. The Lord sees the faith of those fellows bringing that man that cannot get out of bed, and seeing them taking the roof off of that place and lowering him down in front of the Lord. And he says, I forgive you. Because of their faith, they say, if we get him to Jesus, that's all it'll take. Amen. Jesus will heal him. Jesus can heal him. Jesus can heal our friend, can heal our kin, and it'll be permanent. It'll be the best it can be. It'll be perfect. All we got to do is get him to him. Faith. And then what's the Lord do? He saves the man. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, listen, the Lord did the miracles so you can know that He can save your soul, forgive you of your sins. He is God. He's got the power of God. Faith. Do you and I have faith that way? Do you and I have faith? What about the woman with the issue of blood? The Lord comes across the lake there and Jairus meets him and says, my daughter's sick. I need you to come home with me to heal my daughter. And that woman that's there in the way, she had suffered that issue of blood for many years, 12 years if I remember right. And she says, but if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just touch him, I'll be healed of my plague. She'd spent all her money. She'd suffered many things of physicians. That sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? And she said, if I can just touch him, I'll be whole. And the Lord's going on there in the press, and the woman works her way underneath there somehow, some way, and she's able to reach through there, and she touches his garment, and she's healed. She's healed immediately. She's healed immediately. The issue within her is dried up, and she knows, she feels that she's healed immediately. And the Lord says, who touched me? And the disciples said, Lord, everybody's touching you in this throng of people and all these people crowded up around you, wanting to get close to you. Everybody's touching me, touching you. The Lord says, not everybody's touching me the way somebody has. And she was afraid when the Lord said, who touched me, and discerned it was her. And she said, it says there in the Scripture, she told everything that she thought and that she did. And what does the Lord say to her? The Lord says to her in Luke, in Luke chapter 8, he said, when he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Not in her ability to get to him, not in her power to touch him, but that the touch of Jesus would heal her. And I believe the Lord saved her too. He saved her soul in healing her body. What about those two blind men? Those two blind men in Matthew chapter 9. Take a look over there. What about their faith? Faith. Trusting, believing in the Lord. In Matthew chapter 9, verse number 27, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, yea, Lord, you can if you want to. You can if you want to. And he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. They could not keep it to themselves that they'd been touched by the Lord. What about the Syrophoenician woman there in Matthew chapter 15? Turn a few pages over there. This woman that comes to him being a Gentile, the Lord being there in the land of Samaria. And in Matthew chapter 15, verse number 21, and Jesus went thence and departed the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. She recognizes that he is the Lord. He is God. Have mercy on me. If you're here and not saved, that needs to be your cry. Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Thou son of David, have mercy. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. And he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's my ministry. That's who I've been sent to. That seems pretty hard, doesn't it, to you and me? But it's the truth. The Lord wasn't sent in the day of His ministry to the Gentiles per se. He wasn't sent to those Samaritans that were, although He did work amongst them, but He wasn't sent to the Gentiles. But listen to the woman. Listen to what she says. And he answered and said, it is not meet, verse 24. And he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she came, and came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. She begged him. She worshipped him at his feet. And he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. She could have been offended. But she knows she's dealing with the Lord here. What he says is right. What he says is pure. What he says is perfect. Perfect. And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's, their master's table." This woman comes humbly, doesn't she? This woman comes understanding the truth. But this woman comes believing in the mercy of the Lord, that the Lord can work. And he says in verse 28, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith." Woman, you've got great faith. You've got faith in the right one. "Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Immediately, she was healed. Faith. Faith. The man that brought his son to the disciples of the Lord, and the Lord and the disciples couldn't cast out the demon that was in him. And the Lord speaks to them about that faith, and that they couldn't cast the demon out. And they asked the Lord why. And says, "Because of your lack of faith." Because of your lack of faith. And in Matthew chapter 21, we see here, Matthew chapter 21, verse number 18. "Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he was hungered." This is the Lord Jesus Christ, very near his crucifixion, very near the time that he would go to Calvary's Hill and be sacrificed for sinners like you and me. Sacrificed the sacrifice of God for his people. He's right at the door of it. He's within days of it as he's going back and forth in and out of Jerusalem. "Now in the morning as he returned into the city, he was hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away?" They exclaimed that. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only say to this, not only do this which is done to this fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whithersoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." You know, the Lord came to that tree, and we know that the Lord was crucified at Passover. And you know when Passover is in Israel? In the spring. In the spring. You know when the harvest of figs is? In August and September. There weren't going to be any figs on that tree. It says over in this account, over in Mark chapter 9, take a look over there. The Lord is dealing with His church here, folks. He's speaking to you and me. The point is not about the fig tree. The point about what the Lord is doing here. I'm sorry, Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11 is about faith. Mark 11. Verse number 20. "And in the morning as they passed by," the same account, "they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. The Lord in passing by had sought figs on it out of season. And he said, No more figs from you, and you're going to wither up and be done. And they go back into the city and come back out. In the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto him, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." Have faith in God. Faith in the Lord. Faith in the Lord. That He will work. You know, faith is of greatest importance to the Lord. He tells unto the Pharisees in Matthew, he says, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done. You should have done the tithing, but don't leave those other important things undone." Faith. Faith. In Mark chapter 4, take a look here. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. "And the same day when even was come, he saith unto him, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, even that the wind and the sea obey him?" Listen, with the Lord Jesus Christ being near, was there anything to be afraid of? When Jesus is near, there's nothing to be afraid of. He says, "I'm here with you. I'm here sleeping. Yeah, the boat's filling up with water, but I'm here with you." If Jesus is near, there's nothing to be afraid of. Why have you so little faith? You know, we that are saved, we've got Jesus near. We point to our chest, but He's in us. Jesus is near. We need to have faith in Him. There's nothing out of the way. Even if something would come upon us that would take our life, we should have faith, shouldn't we? Because the Lord knows about it. He has all power. Now, in contrast, you that are here this morning without Jesus as your Savior, you need to fear. Because you stand without the Lord near. The Lord's your adversary. If you go out into eternity in the way that you are, you will bear the eternal condemnation of your sin forever. Because you don't have a Savior. You don't have forgiveness of your sins. But in the Lord, there's salvation. In the Lord, there's forgiveness. In the Lord, there is faith. There is peace, and we point you to Him. Many other occasions about faith, blind Bartimaeus and the sinful woman at Simon's house, the 10 lepers and the one that returns to praise the Lord. Faith, faith, the Lord bids us. In Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is faith. How is it with you and me as the Lord's children? Is our faith fruit wax cold? Do we, having been saved, do we exercise faith? Do we have any faith fruit at all? Romans 8:9 says, "But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Do you manifest the fruit of the Spirit? To those that are of you that are not saved, listen to what Romans 10:17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Will you hear what the Lord says? Will you hear and believe what the Lord says? As we read in Acts about the Philip speaking to the Ethiopian eunuch, Philip said unto him, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." Do you? Did the Lord Jesus Christ come and live, suffer, bleed, and die, be buried, and raise again for you? For forgiveness of your sins? In John chapter 20, look what it says. John, it's an interesting thing about the book of John. Do you know that there's only one account in the book of John of the use of any form of the word faith? Isn't that interesting? Why is it? Why is it? We're going to show you why. In John chapter 20, John writes this at the end of this account here of the Lord's ministry. In John chapter 20, verse 30, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But listen, folks, if you're here and you're not saved, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, that you might have faith that he's your Savior, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, sent by God for that work, for that purpose, and that believing you may have life through his name." John doesn't use the word faith only in one place. In John chapter 20, verse number 26, we read, "And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them." Thomas wasn't there with the church on the first time that after the Lord had risen from the dead and met with his church, but he was there the next Sunday. "And Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. And then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither by thy hand, and thrust it into my side." Here's the only form of the use of the of any form of the word faith in the Gospel of John. "And be not faithless, but believing. Did the Lord take those nail prints for you? Did the Lord have his side pierced for you? Was the Lord's blood shed for you? Don't be faithless, but believe." Faith. Faith. Do we, as the Lord's children, exercise faith? Or will you that are here this morning and not saved, will you believe?